guys. I'm Viola Benson. Welcome to another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy with me on every Thursday. Today is a solo episode. It's going to be all about dating advice. I went through all of your DMs. I got so many dating questions. I'm going to try to get through whatever I can. And today I have my producer, Dustin, with me to kind of help me get through some of the questions.
Yeah. I'm excited. I'm a little nervous, though.
Okay, so I haven't recorded a podcast in like 2-3 weeks, and it was kind of nice to take a little break, and now we're getting back into it. So it's kind of weird for me. I think I'm just in my head because we're finally back on the podcast. But like, yeah. I'm so excited. Did you already do all your goals for 2020?
I haven't done any. This year just snuck up on me. I need to really sit down and like plan out, you know, what I'm going to do this year. What about you?
I feel like already last year, towards the end of the year, I started writing my goals, but I don't have a sense of time. Like, it's a genuine real thing where every day, days don't feel like days and weeks don't feel like weeks or months. So my life just feels like a really long day with naps in between. So that's why this doesn't feel like a new year for me or a new month for me. Mm. That's always been my life. But I do feel like everyone I've talked to has said that 2019 has been a really weird year for them. People who succeeded really well and done great things, everyone has said it was like something off. And I feel like a lot of us have went through a lot and we learned a lot. And it was a struggling year where we got to understand ourselves better. And I think everyone was saying, I was like, 2020 is like a new vibe, a new year, and it's going to be better. And I really feel it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think everyone felt like 2019 was a blur.
Right?
Yeah. It was crazy.
So. Yeah, it's weird that everyone felt that same energy.
Yeah.
But I feel like more myself now. And it's only been the first week of January and nothing has changed except me gaining 5 pounds. But like, I already feel more like myself and it's weird. Like, suddenly I feel energetic and confident again. And it's so nice because December was just so off for me. And I don't know, it was weird. And now suddenly I feel like I want to post like funny Instagram videos. Like, I want to put more time into the podcast. Like, I want to do things. Thanks. Two days ago, I was writing for 10 hours and I wrote like one of my favorite poems that's going to be in my future poem book. And it was like, I reread it like so many times because I was so in love with it. Uh-huh. I'll show it to you later.
Nice.
So it was just like, I'm excited for this year, to be honest.
Great. Let's do it. Let's knock it out of the park.
Yeah. Okay. So we're going to do some dating advice questions and answers today.
All right.
I have so many, so I literally don't know what to start with, but we'll do our best. Let's see. Madison asked me, what do you do with a guy who stops, quote unquote, fucking you once you commit? Like, he only wants to make love now. And that's not what I sign up for. I want to fuck. That's why I committed to him. Affection is not hot or sexy. Like, I don't want kissy lips just because we're exclusive now. I still want you to choke me and shit. Well, Madison, first of all, you sound like you have intimacy issues. Mm-hmm. That's A. I'll just get, like, because to be honest, I also love fucking with my partner, whoever I'm dating. But like, sometimes it just feels right to make love, and that's okay too. But I remember with one of my exes, whenever he wanted to make love to me, I was like, oh my God, you're so annoying. I hate this. But he also had a really small penis and I felt like I couldn't feel it inside of me if it was going really slow. So I was like, you have to like fuck me hard in order for me to feel anything. But I think maybe I also secretly hated him.
Well, this could be her. This could be her problem as well. I mean, she just wants to fucking go. I don't know. No making love. But it's odd that, I think it's odd that his demeanor changed once they started dating.
I don't think so. I think it's because he started to love her more. Ooh. But I think if she just sits and has a conversation with him and is like, hey, can we sometimes go back to like you choking me and stuff like that? Or while you're having sex, you can literally communicate and be like faster or choke me.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. So I don't understand why it all changed, you know?
Yeah, I think communication is very important for sure.
Yeah, just communicate. Or if he's not doing it right, just get on top of him. Like, he doesn't always have to be on top, and then you ride him faster.
Yeah, and honestly, for guys, it's very confusing as to what a woman wants. So I know I want to hear what you want and what you're into, especially because it could change night by night.
That is true. Yeah, that's so true. Like another day he wants to fuck her and she'll be like, are you kidding me? Do you not love me anymore?
Women are. That's all you want to do is fuck now.
Yeah. So women are complicated. I don't know if I want to read this. Okay. Amanda asks, how do you heal from being cheated on? So that, I feel like I had a full-on episode about being cheated on. So definitely check that one out. I forgot what the name of it is because I have so many episodes at this point. I'm pretty sure it's about cheating. So
cheating's in the title.
Yeah. Look for the episode with the cheating in the title. I'm sorry. I haven't been done. What is up with me? I think my Adderall's wearing off. And my real personality is coming out right now because my Adderall is wearing off. Yeah. So you get to see my real personality. That's so funny. So yeah, there's a full-on episode that you guys can check out that's about cheating. That's on my podcast. Definitely check that out. But in the meantime, a shorter advice on how to heal from being cheated on is step number one, understand that it wasn't your fault and that you didn't do anything wrong, because that's the most common thing that we do when we're cheated on is like, what did I do wrong? How could I have done it better? Why am I not good enough to not be cheated on? And I think that's so hard to get over that part. And I think even for me, it took me years to realize that like I am worthy to be with someone that won't cheat on me and that I didn't do anything wrong and that I deserve of love. Cause I felt so unlovable when I found out my boyfriend cheated on me. Mm-hmm. And my only thought process was I'm going to continue being with him to prove to myself that I'm good enough for him. And I never ended up being good enough for him. And I never got over the insecurities of him cheating on me. It got to the point that I had to like forgive him in order to be with him again. I remember he would even go to the bathroom for 5 minutes too long. And I would be like, why the fuck is he in the bathroom for so long? Like, is he already texting other girls? And it just wasn't healthy. So I think step one, yeah, definitely forgive yourself and understand that it's not your fault that you got cheated on. Understand that it has to do with them. They feel unloved in some way, or they felt like they weren't good enough for them, for you. Whatever it is, it's on them. Forgive yourself. Understand it's not your fault. So I guess it's two steps. Then the third step is to, once you heal, is to start dating again and to also not bring that baggage with you to other partners. Because one person cheated on you doesn't mean everyone else will too. So you got to make sure that you're not going to then start acting like possessive with a new partner. Because that's another common thing that people do, and they expect new partners to understand. And it's almost like you're punishing new partners for something your old partner did.
Yeah, I think that's a great explanation. I mean, that's great.
Okay, cool. Then this other person said, how to respond when the date talks about their exes? They always mention them. Is it a thing to talk about exes on a date? What do you think?
Oh, man. I mean, I think that can be very tough. I know that, like, I have jealousy issues. So if I hear somebody talk about an ex, like, yeah, it's gonna kind of irk me a little bit. But at the same time, that's a tough one to me. I think I can understand why that would bother someone, but I can also get that, like, you do have to accept that they've been with other people. Like, that's just a fact.
Yeah, some people are really weird if you talk about other partners. Mm. I think it depends on the amount of how much you're talking about in an ex, especially on a date. I think you should be careful, and you should be aware of how much you're talking about an ex. There's a difference between bringing up like, oh yeah, my ex and I, we broke up, it didn't work out, that person's a great person, versus like, my ex is such a piece of shit and like, I don't like him when you put down the ex, or versus where it's like, oh, you have blue hair, my ex had blue hair. Oh, you love water, wow, my ex loves water. Oh my God. Mm. When you talk like that, it totally reminds me of my ex. Like, that's, I think, taking it too far, and the person's clearly not over their ex. Like, I remember years ago, I went on a date with this guy and like, I started drinking and then I just would not shut the fuck about my ex. And then I think at one point I started crying about my ex. And I was like, wow. You think you'll take me back?
Yeah. I mean, that could be a very clear sign that they're not over them. Yeah.
I think I was a clear sign.
Yeah.
I think when I said, do you think my ex will take me back? Maybe. Was like, she's probably not over. And I was texting my ex, this was a mistake, I missed you.
Wow. This was on a date?
Yeah.
Wow.
I still dated that guy for a few months after.
Really? He kept going.
Yeah, he really liked me. And then I went back to my ex.
Yeah, I don't think I could do that. I think if you did that to me, that would have been...
If someone did that to me, if a girl right now told me a guy did that to her, I'd be like, yo, he's trash. Let him go. And because I did, I'm like, well, you got to look through like whatever this girl was going through. But I also did that when I was like 21, 22. Right. I didn't do this like last month, you know? Right. I know better now. But yeah, I think when it comes to dates, especially first dates, try to avoid talking about your ex.
Yeah.
And if you do bring up your ex, do in a very cordial way, in a way where you're like, yeah, I think that person's a great person, and then move on. Mm-hmm. Don't spend too much. I think like more than 1 minute about your ex on the full date is too much.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, for sure.
Okay, so this girl, Molly, asked, there's this guy I was seeing for a couple of weeks who ghosted me. A week later, he reappears back into my life and claims that he got too scared because he likes me too much. Should I give him another chance, or is this a load of bullshit? My opinion is that he had another girl, so he disappeared for a week, maybe didn't work out or whatever, and now he reappeared in your life, so I would be cautious. What do you think? Hey guys, quickly want to talk to you about BetterHelp. Is there something that's currently interfering with your happiness or is preventing you from achieving your goals? Well, BetterHelp online counseling is there for you. I've talked about battling depression, anxiety, and all that stuff before. I'm pretty open about having it. And I've talked about BetterHelp in the past before. It's basically licensed professional counselors who specialize in depression, anxiety, relationship, trauma, LGBT matters, self-esteem, and so much more. It's affordable, and there's also financial aid for those who qualify. And just a quick reminder, it is not a crisis line. So best of all, it's a truly affordable option with for all my Too Tired to Be Crazy listeners. You get 10% off of your first month with the discount code Violet. So why not get started today? Go to betterhelp.com/Violet and use my discount code Violet for 10% off. All you need to do is fill out a questionnaire to help them better assess your needs and get matched with the perfect counselor for you. So that's betterhelp.com/Violet using my discount code Violet for 10% off of your first month. And if you're not happy with your counselor, you can always find a new counselor. They literally have thousands of counselors all over. So check it out. Hey guys, quickly want to tell you about one of our newest sponsors today, which is Best Fiends, or as I would say, Best Fiends. If you're looking for a fun way to pass the time while engaging your brain and enjoying breathtaking visuals and a gripping story, your answer is Best Fiends. You basically focus on a character collection and fun puzzles in this game. There's like challenging puzzles and it has like a story behind it, and it gets to engage your brain while you're having fun. It's a casual game. You can play it with anyone. It's made for adults. So it's basically you can play it in the bathroom while you're going number two, instead of going back to work, or while you're waiting in the doctor's office before your appointment, or if it's a really boring date and you just want to get on your phone. You can play this game anywhere. My favorite part about the game right now is like all those little cute little animal characters. And I'm on level 3. I got on it pretty fast. I've only been playing for a couple of days right now, and it's been super fun. I've been playing it every time my dad talks to me. I just get on my phone and play that. So it does not require internet to play. It's great for traveling. Like I said before, you can play it anywhere, including on a plane, in a subway, when your dad's talking to you, anywhere. You can collect a ton of characters and you can use them strategically for each level. So you engage your brain with fun puzzles and collect tons of cute characters. Trust me, with over 100 million downloads, this 5-star rated mobile puzzle game is a must play. Download Best Fiends on the Apple App Store or Google Play.
Yeah, I mean, that's my first instinct is that there was someone else. Maybe he was dating who was possessive, or that he was worried that he would find out was talking to another girl and then came back once that ended.
Yeah. Or like they're taking a break or something. But like, I think I've always given people the benefit of the doubt when they've acted distant. Mm-hmm. But and not I wasn't being crazy or anything, but like if they acted distant, I felt like usually when you feel something in your gut, you're right.
Yeah.
And like every time where I felt like there was something off, every time ended up being that they were actually talking to someone else and it was more serious, but they weren't sure or they were insecure about it. And then they would come back around when it didn't work out, or like they left because there was someone else. Like,
yeah.
I feel like that's usually the case.
Yeah, but even if, like, let's say it's true, and then they have those sort of intimacy issues where if they're feeling too strong of a feeling that they have to, like, shut off from the world or from you, that seems like a problem too. You know, if things start getting serious later down the line, are they just going to walk away and then come back and expect you to take them back? I don't know. I think there's problems all around there.
Sounds like me. I was like, is that you? Trying to process that. I'm like, fuck. Because, I agree with your advice, but my brain. So one thing that I told Dustin that I'm struggling with is that normally I have always a response, a good advice to every question. But like when I was going through some of these questions, it's the first time where I kind of popped in my head like, holy shit, am I a fuck girl? Because it seems like some of these questions, it's almost like things that I've done to people, but it always has to do with like me having intimacy issues. But I don't think I even came to light how strong my intimacy issues are until like I was going through a lot of these questions. And I was like, fuck, I'm doing that. Or like, I did that.
Well,
dating is scary.
Yeah. I mean, and this is life is such a unique thing. We're all experiencing it for the first time together, you know?
So no, I agree.
It helps for us all to lean on each other and learn from each other.
Okay, so somebody else asked me, and the reason I want to respond to it, because I remember this from a TED Talk. Mm-hmm. This guy asked me, how do I know when I love someone so much that I should marry them? So this is really cool, but there's a real scientific fact behind meeting the one, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So I've heard this on a TED Talk, and I read about this. It's basically, I'm going to try to say as well as I can remember, there's scientifically, there's two types of people in this world. And there's some people who believe in love at first sight. And there's literally some chemicals in their body or in their brain that clicks when they meet someone, they just know they like that person. While other people, their brain just doesn't believe in love at first sight and they need to get to know a person before they fall in love with them. So it's like a real thing. That's why they recommend that you go on at least 3 dates with a person before you decide whether or not they're the right person for you. Mm-hmm. But some people will just know on the first date. Like I'm one of those people that I have a feeling about someone, how I feel.
Okay.
But some people are not like that. So me, I can go on 7 dates with the same guy and like my intuition was correct on the first date, you know? Mm-hmm. But I think now as you get older, how do you know when you love someone so much that you should marry them? I think that has to be with growth. Like you really do have to, because when you first meet each other, you're infatuated with each other. Then you really get to know each other. Then you peel off all the layers. And I think that's when you get to kind of find out, like, is this the person I can spend the rest of my life with? Right?
Yeah, I think so. And I think it's an important step for people to live together because that's when you really know somebody. But if you're not sure if you should marry them, then that's probably a sign that it's not the right time.
Yeah, that's so sad, but that is true. I mean, some people really do say that they just know, but I feel like a lot of times I like someone and I'm just like, that's my person. And then they're not. And then the next person, I'm like, that's my person. And then I'm like, I think I have a problem. Am I okay? It's so crazy to me.
Well, I also think marriage isn't as crazy of a thing today as it would have been, you know, 100 years ago or whatever. You know,
that's so true.
Divorce isn't. I don't shame anybody for having been divorced.
I actually feel like I think more about my future with getting pregnant, having a child with a partner that I love versus marrying them. Like it's almost not a real step in my brain.
Right.
It's weird. Yeah. I almost think about that step, the children first before the marriage. I don't know why.
Yeah, I think that's a stronger connection. That's when you're like, you're really attached to somebody. Because if you have a baby, then you're kind of attached to seeing that dad as long as he wants to be a part of that kid's life.
Yeah, I feel like people don't realize that.
Yeah.
Like you realize that you may be stuck with this person. Like, okay, I know this one girl. I'm not going to say her name. Let's just bleep. No, I'm not going to say her name. It's fine. Anyway. We were friends when I was younger and I was like a little crazier, kind of.
Okay, just a little crazy.
And she was batshit crazy. Like, I'm not scared of that many people and she was one of those people that I was actually really scared of because she's like I was crazy in a way where I would like send you 70, like not 70, I would send you like 10 texts, you know?
Okay.
And maybe like show up at my ex's house if he's not responding. That was like my crazy. Ooh. Her crazy was like, she would slash a guy's tires and like, she was like, actually crazy. Wow. Anyway, her ex was always cheating on her and she really wanted him back. So then she reeled him in, had sex with him, did whatever those girls do that you see on movies and shows where they like take the cum from the condom and like turkey baste inside themselves. She literally did all that to trick him into, you know, giving her a child. And she got pregnant with this child. Years later, this dumbass ended up getting, having a big company because she was always like a hustler. Mm-hmm. So she ended up having a really successful company, being kind of famous, hanging out with really cool people. At that point, she doesn't give a shit about her ex anymore because he's a loser in her eyes. And now she's stuck with him, paying him child support.
Yeah.
Because she's stuck with him for 18 years. So it was almost like the funniest karma ever.
Yeah, no.
Obviously, after she tricked him into getting pregnant, I stopped being friends with her because I thought it was a little crazy. Mm-hmm. So it was like a little too much for me. You know, God bless her soul. I hope she's doing well and she doesn't listen to this podcast because I'm so scared of her.
She's going to slash your tires.
Yeah, <she'll> worse. But
didn't you say you had a flat tire today? I wonder if
that... Oh, wait, I do have a flat tire. I don't think it's her because she hasn't heard me. Shoot, that's so funny. Oh my God. But anyway, don't trick a man into having a child because you never know what the future holds.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah, people forget alimony goes both ways.
How funny is that? Yeah. Like, what karma? She's stuck with him forever. Although, obviously, a child, what a blessing.
Right. Yeah.
That was the conclusion.
What a blessing. The way you put that.
What a blessing. Okay, next. Paige asked me, how do you get over the anxiety of dating/first dates? I take like sometimes before first date, like a shot or I have a drink before my first date. And I also make sure to not like stalk them on the internet or anything. So it can be like fully... clear. A lot of other people on first dates, they usually like to invite their friends, but make sure like everyone that says a 2-drink minimum is actually really true. Don't go more. Cause like me, I have just 1 drink and then I'm like really drunk. And then it's really hard to be mysterious when I don't shut the fuck up.
And you cry about your ex.
I cry about my ex. So yeah, 2-drink minimum for me, liquid courage really helps to loosen up on a first date.
Do you mean 2-drink minimum or maximum?
Sorry, maximum. My English is off. Maximum. It depends. Maybe like 1 drink is good. Like I've drank like before someone I'm talking to, sometimes without them knowing, I'll take a shot or something, or like I'll drink a little bit before they come over so I can like loosen up to hang out with them because I'll get nervous.
Right. Yeah. I mean, nervous and being anxious are really close to being excited.
Right.
So if you can make that mind shift, you know, that's key, I think. But also, I think it can be kind of fun, like having those butterflies in your stomach and things like that. Those are some experiences that I wouldn't really push away too much. I think that's a fun part of dating. Yeah. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know.
Yeah. I guess. I mean, for me, I'm pretty easygoing, so it's pretty easy for me to feel comfortable, but yeah. I understand my first dates, I feel like I'll always have a drink and I'm not a drinker. Mm-hmm. So that means like, I literally need to like loosen up by having liquid courage.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's probably not the worst thing if you're the kind of person that gets so anxious that you just clam up and seem quiet, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Kelly asked me, how do I commit to a new person when I still feel so hurt by my previous relationship over my ex, but still so hurt over how he treated me in our breakup? I don't think I'm ready for a new relationship and I want to focus on myself and healing myself. However, the new guy I'm seeing seems so perfect and I would hate to let a good thing pass me by because of the past. Much love as always. That's a hard one because you kind of suck, Kelly. Wait. I didn't finish that sentence.
I don't think that's a good way to start your advice. You suck.
No, that's not how I meant it. I just meant, because I'm trying to process the question, how to answer it. That's not what I meant. What I meant was, you literally, stop laughing.
Kaylon laughing.
What I meant was, is that you literally answered your own question where you're literally already admitting you're not ready for anything. You still need to heal. So it sucks that you're leading this person on just because you think that person's such a catch. Like if that person's such a catch, then they deserve to also find a catch that's ready to go on the same pace as them. Oh, although having a conversation never hurts. So if you let your partner know like, hey, I think you're so amazing, but can we slow it down? Can we go a little slower? I'm still so bruised up from my ex that I don't want to do anything to hurt you. And I also don't want to lose you because I think you're so amazing, but I'm just not ready to move in a faster pace. And if your partner understands, then you guys can go in the same pace and it could work out. And he can make you feel safe in order for you guys to date.
Yeah. And I think if he really cares about you, he will wait.
Yeah.
You know, and it's important to not rush into it because you do need to love yourself and care about yourself and have that self-respect to be able to build a good foundation to a relationship.
And what you're doing is the right thing because you are thinking about this other person's feelings. So you don't suck, Kelly. That's not what I meant. Somebody asked me to give them advice about long distance relationships. I think long distance relationships, the best advice I can give you is where you set boundaries with each other. So I think it's different for each person. It just depends what you need from your partner in order to feel safe in the relationship. So for me and one of my exes, we were in a long distance relationship. So I always had to talk to them, to my partner at the end of the night. Like in the end of the day, we would connect and we would talk. I'm not the kind of person that needs to talk to somebody every 2 seconds, but other people are different. So maybe that it just depends. Or like I've had some people on my podcast that came on who were in long distance relationships and they said they won't go longer than 2 weeks without seeing each other. So that was their thing. And I think me and my ex, we would see each other at least also, yeah, twice a month.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, long distance relationships are really tough. I think that's something that you and the other person do have to discuss, like you're saying. Oftentimes I travel, I'll be gone for months at a time. And so I make sure that my wife and I talk to each other and see each other at least every other day, if not every day. I think it's so much easier today with FaceTime and things like that to like not feel as distant from the person.
Yeah, I like long distance personally because I can do my own thing, but I know other people that it's too hard for them and they would never do long distance. So I think long distance usually works when you're already really comfortable in the relationship. Like you have to be comfortable in your own skin also to be away from your partner for so long. Like you literally have to feel secure in the relationship or the long distance won't work.
Yeah, it takes a lot of trust for sure.
Yeah. Simone asked me, what do you do when the guy you're dating has toxic and manipulative friends who don't like you? My ex just broke up with me because his best friend, a female, told him I was lying about my sexual assault. I wasn't. She just assumed. So that's a really hard question. Number one, I think I responded to her and I was just asking her some questions. Like I was asking her maybe the relationship wasn't that serious if her partner broke up with her that quickly over something, over her friends not liking him. Also, I said, you are who you hang out with.
Absolutely.
So it feels like if all of his friends, for whatever reason, manipulative and all that, wouldn't that make him that type of person too? Mm-hmm. Or maybe she just doesn't like his friends. But I was like, if you really want to make the relationship work, maybe have a sit down and like have a conversation with his friends and get them to like you versus constantly fighting with them. Because I think that is really hard for a person when they suddenly feel like they're battling between their partner who they love and their friends.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think who you hang out with is a big sign of their character. So you got to be careful that he's not manipulative in his own ways. You know, maybe his female friend has a thing for him.
That is true. One of my ex-boyfriends, his female friend was always making jokes at, like, when we posted pictures together. She'd be like, oh, you guys are so, like, lovey, kissy, kissy. And she was always putting it down. And it was making him feel embarrassed to be all, like, public with me and be all, like, all touchy or post pictures of us. And then he left me for her. Mm-hmm. And then they were posting pictures, like, literally the next day together, which...
Wow.
I'm literally not bitter about it, but it was just like, oh, okay, cool. So you were just jealous. Like, so it wasn't funny to you. Like you were just jealous and you were being manipulative and you sucked because now you are posting nonstop pictures together. So now it's okay. So that could be it too. Like you never know.
Yeah.
I think she also has to have a conversation with her partner, but it's also not good for your partner's friends to not like to not like you. That's kind of a problem.
Yeah, right? Absolutely. Because then it's going to come down to them feeling like they have to choose, and that's not a good position for them to be in.
Yeah. Wow. That's putting a lot of things in perspective for me too right now.
You're learning so much from this episode.
Let's see. Okay, this girl asked, how do you navigate your boyfriend following different IG models' accounts, liking other girls' IG posts, or even the NSFW party/entertainment accounts? I'm curious about how women handle this. It bothers me. Please keep me anonymous. Bless you. It actually reminds me, a lot of other girls ask me, like, how do you deal with your boyfriend liking a porn star's picture, blah, blah. It's like, to be honest, it's nothing. Right. Like, you shouldn't be upset, especially if these girls are like porn stars, IG models. All these girls are verified. They're chasing verified dick. And if your boyfriend is like a non, like, I don't know how to say this without sounding like an asshole. I'm just trying to say fast. But like, if your boyfriend is like a non-Instagram type of person, you have nothing to worry about, because those girls, including the porn stars, literally get so many DMs from so many guys, and these girls don't care. They usually run in the same circle of like who they are. So usually they're like, the porn stars are in the DMs of like athletes. Right. They're not thinking about your boyfriend. So your boyfriend just seeing a picture thinking that girl looks hot means nothing. Like, guys just like to look at things. I think like restricting your partner from liking other girls' pictures is a little too much. Don't you think?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, he's not chasing after them. There's not a chance that he's actually going to fuck them.
There's literally zero chance. Unless he's rich, then like, you know, see what's up.
If he's got the blue check.
If he's got a check mark. Yeah. I mean, like, it's obviously if he's like DMing them.
Yeah, that's a different story. If he's DMing, but if he's just liking, if he's just looking at photos, I mean, I don't see how that's necessarily a negative thing. It sounds more like she has insecurities that she kind of needs to work through. You know, be comfortable with herself, be comfortable with the relationship.
No, but like, I understand, because when I date a guy, I totally get insecure when I see them liking any girl's picture, because I don't, like, it freaks me out, and then I have to talk myself out of it and just tell myself that it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, hands the advice I have to give other girls. So like, I get it. So I think, but I think like, if you're noticing him commenting on the girls' pictures, that's really that, like, that I can't hold in. And like, that's, I just find it embarrassing for me if I'm like sleeping with a guy and he's commenting on a girl that I may know, or like a random girl that I, like a porn star, is saying like, damn, nice tits, or like asking a random question. Then I'm like, are you kidding me? That's embarrassing.
Right.
So I think there's a difference between liking a picture or two versus commenting on their pictures, DMing them. Or what do you think about if this guy is liking all of his ex's pictures and things like that? I think that's different, right?
Yeah, I think that's different. That's a little odd, because it does show that he hasn't let go of them yet. And yeah, that would make me uncomfortable for sure. I think that's a different story.
There was this guy that I hooked up with 2 years ago, and then he randomly unfollowed me last year. And I was like, hey, are we good? What's up? What was that? And he's like, listen, my girlfriend and I just got back together, and she asked me politely if I can unfollow every girl I've ever had a thing with, and I just want to be respectful. And I personally, I didn't think that made him like so amazing. I thought that it sounded like he was in a toxic relationship.
Yeah, she sounds very controlling.
Right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I would have totally fucked that guy again, but I wasn't going to do it while he was in a relationship.
Right.
So, yeah, bless you. Okay, this girl asked me, do you think a girl should move across the country for a boy? So I think in the end of the day, whatever advice I give you, you should listen to your heart. Me personally, I would never do it unless I literally knew, unless he proposed to me and now we're engaged, then I would move across the country. So I wouldn't do it, but also I'm really focused on work and things like that. I know other girls who have done it and it was successful, but like, what if you move across the country for someone and then it doesn't work out? Are you going to be completely bitter about the fact that you left your whole life for this person? Or like, what if you move for this person and you have nothing going on now? So your whole life is him. I mean, for a good example, my good friend, Carrie Bradshaw from Sex and the City, she did that for this guy and she moved for him to Paris and that didn't work out. So that's a really solid example.
Yeah.
Even though it's not real.
Yeah, but yeah, I think it's also important to think, like, are you okay with living in that place if it doesn't, you know? Because if right. you live to Paris for a guy, I mean, it's Paris. That could be a nice change.
No, you probably don't speak the language. What are you going to do there?
Learn the language. Enjoy some food.
That would give me anxiety to just move across the country. I can't, like, my life can depend on someone else, but yeah. I understand people who would do it, and I don't encourage against it. Like, right. I think it's whatever you feel is right.
Yeah, and make sure that you really know this guy. You spent adequate time, you know, not just, like, talk from a distance, you know?
One of my interns actually moved across the country, even though it was because her visa was expiring in the U.S. anyway. Mm. But she moved to Canada instead of moving back to Spain, where she was from, to be with her boyfriend. They're still together. They're going strong. And I'm so happy for her. So, like I said, sometimes it does work out. And we literally had a talk before she was deciding what to do next, because I offered her a job with me. And I said, we can figure out a visa if you want to continue working with me. Mm-hmm. Or you can go to your boyfriend. It's whatever you want. And she chose love. And I respect that, because some people just do that. And sometimes I want to look back and I'm like, did I make a mistake that I always chose work over? You know, I need to make something clear. I feel like one thing I have not made clear. Most of my 20s, I was in the relationship. I know it sounds like a lot of the time that I've been single. I was in the relationship until, I think I've only been single for like 2 years right now. Just FYI. People, I think I don't mention that enough. I loved someone for like 7-8 years. We were on and off, and it was a terrible, we were both really toxic for each other, but we loved each other. And so, yeah, just FYI. This is an interesting one, because I'm curious about this. Michelle asked me, do men really judge you on how quickly you sleep with them? Do I need to keep my legs closed for 5 dates, or it doesn't count, or it doesn't matter? Or no sex before monogamy, as Patty Stanger said, or is it all bullshit? I think it depends on the guy, to be honest, and I think it depends on the guy and how his views are on sex. Because I met guys who literally don't care. And I met guys who are like, oh, she needs to wait at least a month before I sleep with her in order for me to date her. So I think it depends on the guy opinion, and it depends on how you feel. And also, if you do sleep with a guy really fast, then you have to make sure that you don't get attached to him. Because that's like one of the reasons I can't sleep with someone too fast. Because I will end up wanting to go out with them without even actually liking them. Cause it's like, we already slept with you, so, you know, let's just have kids.
Yeah.
That's like the next step.
Just right into the
kids. Let's just have children. So what do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree with that. I think it's more about how you feel, you know. Are you comfortable with having sex right away? And understanding that if you are, there's a lot of guys that just want sex for that night. And if you prefer to wait a month or wait till you're married, you know, then that person has to respect you. I think that's part of finding the right person, is that you both have that same feeling about sex.
But I do understand how now it feels like the way everyone dates is so fluid, where there's no actual titles to anything. So sometimes I think it does get confusing, because then people are sleeping with multiple people, and that can get confusing, or you just want to have fun, but then you want something more, but you never had conversations before. So as much as uncomfortable as it is, I think if you do have conversation, kind of like what you're looking for, but maybe hold off, at least on the first date, hold off and don't have sex. Because some other girls were asking me for advice about how, this other girl wrote to me that, what is she doing wrong? That every time she goes on a date, she tells the guy she's not ready to sleep with him until she's in, like, until they're exclusive, and then they end up ghosting her. And it's like, my advice to her would have been, they're literally doing you a favor, because you're like, you're taking out the shitty guys, and thank God you didn't sleep with them, because they would have only wanted you for sex anyway. So maybe on the first day, don't have sex with them, but if you feel ready to fuck them on the second day, then do it. But like, I think it's somehow you should try to figure out, like, gauge what they're, like, looking for, right?
Yeah, yeah. I think always communication is the most important thing.
Yeah, although, I mean, it's easier said than done. I feel like I'm so terrible at communicating what I want.
Right. But, I mean, it doesn't hurt to ask, you know, what are you looking for? Are you looking for a relationship, or are you just looking for someone to date or someone to have fun with?
Exactly, and I think she also needs to figure out what she's looking for, because I don't know where this question is, but another question that stuck out to me was, this girl said how she's been single for a few years now, and she feels like every guy she dates is like sucks, ends up ghosting her or ends up being toxic. And it's like, shit, like, why is it so hard to date? And my response to her is a response that I think I've heard this in the TED Talk before too. And I've gotten this as advice before too, is that sometimes we don't realize this, but after a while, if you notice a pattern with the people that you're dating are all like shitty or all emotional and unavailable, it's like, wait, what am I doing that I'm purposely, subconsciously attracting the same person in a different body? Mm-hmm. So I think you have to start figuring out what you're doing that you're attracting those specific people. So until you're ready for love, or until you're ready to accept yourself or whatever, you're going to be attracting a mirror of yourself in a weird way. Because I feel like I didn't fully realize until the end of this year is that I'm a little bit emotionally unavailable, or I have some intimacy issues where I get scared not to get close to people. And I feel like that's why I was picking specific partners where most of them were younger than me, or they were in a specific type of lifestyle. So I knew we would never get too close. I almost was getting into it knowing it was going to end. Mm-hmm. And it helped me feel safe. So I think once you look at that and you're like, oh shit, I am actually doing that. Once you figure that out, work on that, then you're going to start to attract the right partners. And also I heard that if you just make a list and write down exactly what you're looking for in a partner, you're going to start to attract those type of people.
Yeah, I think that's all great advice.
I think so too. I really enjoyed that advice for myself too.
We got to find that TED Talk.
I know. I don't remember where I heard that. I mean, now it's this TED Talk. Yeah, I literally repeated it. Yeah. this guy asked me, how long do you have to wait to ask for anal? I say, surprise him.
just surprise.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Don't surprise them. Have a conversation. Just ask someone if they're ready, if they're down to try it one night for fun or whatever, and just see where their head's at.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I think it's important to ask all around, you know, as to what people are into or not, you know?
Yeah. And some people ask me about anal if they were like not in a full on relationship, if it was like a fuck buddy or friends with benefits. I think it's the same thing. I don't think it's that weird. Just ask for it.
Right.
Like, hey, can we have anal? Hey, would you ever get weirded out if I put it in your ass? And then like, just see what happens. And then if she's like, ew, what the fuck? You're like, oh no, man, I think it's gross too. Yeah, for sure. You know, you're just like, yeah, no way. Ew, right? What was I thinking? So yeah, just joke about it, you know?
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, okay. This guy asked me, my girlfriend won't get on birth control because of a bad experience one of her friends had. This is the one thing I've asked of her since we have been dating. She said she'll do it, but she keeps putting it off. I love her and I want to have her children, but not right now. Not until we are both financially stable enough to provide for each other. Okay, my advice for this is that I think it's really unfair for you to ask your girlfriend to get on birth control, especially if she thinks she's not ready for it, because I don't think men understand the stuff that it does to your body to get on birth control. For a lot of women, it makes them more hormonal. It like gives them mood swings. It makes them depressed. Me personally, birth control has been, I've been okay with it, but not every woman's like that. Or when they do an IUD, all that shit stuff is so painful. And like, it's almost like as if she asked, I keep telling my boyfriend to put on a condom and you won't put on a condom. It's literally the same thing. Mm-hmm. So I think he's being unreasonable. What do you think?
Absolutely. I mean, he is just as responsible. He should wear a condom. But I think on the other side, she should explore other options. Just because that happened to her friend doesn't mean it'll happen to her. And there's so many types of birth control out there these days, you know?
Do you take any?
Do I take any birth control?
Yeah.
I don't.
So how the fuck would you know? Sorry, I'm about to attack you. I'm just kidding.
No, I mean, I agree with you that like, he needs to take just as much responsibility in the thing.
But yeah, obviously he's only asking for it to get on birth control because he wants to come inside of her. Right. So it's like, just do the pull-on method. It works 98% of the time. Actually, don't quote me on that because I'm not sure. But I think.
I don't think that's a good advice.
Well, I don't know. I've been on birth control since I was 17.
Right.
I don't know what it's doing to my body. Me personally, birth control helps me keep my skin clear and helps me with my moods. Mm-hmm. But I heard for a lot of other women, it's really not helpful at all.
Yeah. Some people it can cause to gain a lot of weight. Some it can cause the exact opposite. It can hurt their skin more than it helps.
Yeah. Yes. Weight gain for some women, they feel crazy, all that. So I think it is selfish of him. Yes. Maybe they should explore other options, but like him being like, I want to have kids with her eventually. I feel like that's leading her on. Cause like, what if you guys break up tomorrow and then she like gained 15 pounds and did all that just to be in birth control for him. So he can like for 2 seconds come inside of her.
Right.
A little selfish. I don't know.
Yeah. No, for sure. I mean, I guess you could also say there's other options like spermicide and things like that too.
Yeah, just pull out. Just come in her mouth.
There you go. Right. Anal. That's what it's
have anal. Come inside her ass. Okay, the next question is, I actually gave this guy advice before. I sent him a voice note to this person before I came on the podcast, but he said, my girlfriend broke up with me because she said I was too good for her. What do I do? Which was an experience that I experienced with someone for the first time last year, 2018. So I said, because he was feeling really bad about himself about this, and I told him that when someone tells you that they think they're you're too good for them, you have to believe them and you have to walk away, because there's like a famous quote that says, people fall in love with you based on how you make them feel. So that means, how can I fall in love with you if I'm whenever I'm around you, I constantly feel like I'm not worthy of you. And that's something that I need to work on. That means you didn't do anything wrong. And if this guy stays, if this guy tries to prove himself to his girlfriend or stays with her, it would only lower his self-worth. And he will end up feeling bad about himself, because no matter, he's going to have to try to remind her every day that she's good enough for him. And that won't be good enough for her, because like, she's like, she's insecure about herself. Like, it has nothing to do with him. That was my advice. Cause I experienced that last year where I went out with someone and no matter what I did, he was always like, you make me feel so insecure. Like, no one else makes me feel this way. And with you, it's like, I just always feel so insecure around you. And I just feel like I'm not good enough for you. And I just feel like you deserve so much more than me, blah, blah. And like, I felt like the whole time I was dating him, I kept trying to prove to him how he would be good enough for me, to the point that I started to like question myself. And I felt like a terrible person, because it's like, even me breathing was like made him feel insecure. And it's like, I couldn't figure out like how to fix it. And it got to a point that I'm like, how do I fix myself? And I think that sucks. Like, literally when we stopped talking, I told him that I felt like he was taking away my, well, I'm a writer. So what did I say? I was like, I feel like you're taking away my sunshine, my light. Cause like, I was like this bright light and I was so outgoing and fun. And then suddenly I started to, yeah, I said, I felt like you're dimming my light. And that's literally how I felt with him. I start to get insecure, and that's not fair. Like, why am I insecure just because he feels bad about himself?
Yeah. Yeah.
I was really passionate about this part.
Yeah.
Advice. Here's the question about, why do I keep finding guys that aren't ready for a relationship but lead you on saying they want more? It's because you're attracting those type of people. She's like, she said it happened 4 times in a row. Heather, it's literally because you're attracting those type of people. Just like I was attracting people who were a little broken because I was looking for projects to fix. Or I was attracting people who were a little emotionally unavailable because I secretly had intimacy issues and I didn't want to get into anything. And even though every time I felt so disappointed when it didn't work out, I think somewhere in the back of my head, I kind of knew why, because I was going for those type of people. And I'm trying to figure out in my head how to go for people who are more ready for something. Right. I don't know. Dating is scary. And I feel like the older you get, the scarier dating gets, because you end up being so jaded. Like, one really interesting thing a friend of mine told me, my guy friend, he's 32. He's dating a girl that's like 21, 22. And I said, what's your favorite thing about dating her? And he's like, honestly, she's not jaded. Like, she hasn't been through all the pain, all the breakups, all of that. So it's like, I get to have this like really fun spirit, like this fun soul, and everything's new to her. I get to introduce her to new movies, to new things. And she's just like, I just have a lot of fun with her because it's a new experience with me. And that kind of made me sad, like, to hear that, since the rest of us who are older, we all get jaded by relationships.
Right.
But it was really interesting. And I think that's what happens. Like, the older you get, the more closed off you become, the more scared you are. And I feel like I had that experience recently with a friend of mine where I really liked him and that freaked me out. And I ended things with him. And then I tried to be his friend. I was like, can we just go back to being friends? Asked him if we can go back to being friends. He said yes. Then I would reach out to be friendly. And he was like, like not really paying attention to me. And I was like, what an asshole. I can't blah, blah, blah. And then my friend was like, you understand that you literally rejected this person. But like, to me, I didn't realize that because I was like, oh, it's because I like him too much. But right. I was like, he obviously is not going to think that. He thinks like I rejected him, like he's not good enough for me.
Yeah.
But really, it's because, you know, I'm, I guess, maybe a little jaded without realizing. And I got scared and I like ended things.
Yeah.
But then it also makes me think, does that mean secretly he wasn't the right person for me? Because the right person I will feel ready?
Yeah, either not the right person or just not the right time, you know?
But I don't believe in timing. I literally give people advice about how timing isn't real. Like if someone says, I can't be with you right now, they're literally just, what they're saying is, I like you, just not enough, and I'm literally passing you up.
Well, I think the time has to be right for you as far as like, you as a person, you know, it's like we were saying that like you need to be ready for a relationship.
I think maybe it has to do with also feeling safe or fully communicating. Like this guy mm-hmm. is so assertive and so honest that he tells you straight up everything he's feeling and thinking. I'm not that type of person.
So whenever
I say stuff that I don't really mean, he believes it. Like just like when I was like, can we just go back to being friends? I just felt in that moment I needed like space, but he takes it like, exactly as I say things. Like literally 2020, I'm a virgin. Literally, because I haven't slept with anyone since 2019. So I'm good. So if you still want to ask me out, like I'm here. If you listen to this episode. but I still like the other guy too. It's fine. Anyway. Wow, I feel like I'm like a fuck girl secretly. But I'm not. I'm so loyal. And I'm so loving, but mm-hmm. I think until recently, towards the end of last year, I don't think I realized how much I have intimacy issues. Like I just get scared. I just have this big fear of someone trapping me, which feels like it's normally like a guy's fear, but that's my fear. Like I get really scared of someone somehow trapping me or giving me anxiety. What if someone just needs too much of my attention, I'm unable to give it to them because I don't want to hurt anyone? Or B, what if we get to know each other and then they don't like who they discover about me? Like what if they're only dating me because they like my persona and they really get to know me and they don't like it? So then they're going to abandon me. So I feel like I have abandonment issues where I get really scared where someone is going to tell me they love me and then I'm going to believe them and then they're just going to leave me. And then it's really hard for me to understand because like I take those words seriously. So it's hard for me to understand if someone says they're going to be there for me and then they're not. Mm-hmm. It's every time it's a shock to me. I'm like, what? So it's almost now I'm too afraid of people letting me down that I don't like, I keep everyone at a distance. And yeah, the other part is that I'm scared. I don't want to let anyone else down by not being able to be there for them as much as they need. Because some people out there are just more needy than I am. Mm-hmm. And I'm scared that someone will need a lot of me and they're going to like lose themselves in me. And I can't deal with that part either. So I feel like I'm scared of both sides.
Right.
It's like I'm getting anxiety talking about this right now. Like I'm overwhelmed talking about this right now. Oh shit. Those really are my fears. I'm so open today.
Well, yeah. I mean, it sounds like you need to find somebody who is more on the independent side. That isn't as clingy, who has their own goals and ambitions.
Yeah, that would be nice. I think, yeah, you're right. Maybe that's what I need. Someone who, because like I noticed that like I'm so attracted and drawn to guys who are really into their careers because then like it motivates me. But I still need to feel safe like where they claim me and like I know I'm their partner and they make it known and they don't want anyone else. Mm-hmm. And then we can just continue, you know, being individuals and then coming together later on. Oh, so I guess technically I just explained what I wanted.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that does take a lot of trust on your part.
I trust pretty easily. Like even though I've been cheated on actually by all three of my exes, it's been good enough years for me to like, I don't hold on to things, to be honest. Like I've changed so much as a person that I can just see, I know now that hurt people. And I know that we were young, so I literally don't take any of that personally because I know I'm also not perfect in all my last relationships and also in my current dating life. So I still trust pretty easily. Like if someone tells me they're not talking to anyone else, I believe them. Unless, of course, something in my stomach tells me, not right. to trust them, or like they're commenting on, you know, girls' Instagrams or whatever,
yeah.
pictures or whatever, then yeah, maybe I'll be suspicious. But normally I'm too tired to be crazy. Like, so normally it's like I need to date someone that just makes me feel at ease. Would they right. just tell me I'm not talking to anyone? I'll be like, okay, do your thing.
Right.
Yeah. That's like, which is so funny because I've literally been cheated on and I'm still not that kind of person that I'm like, text me every night that yeah. I don't see you, blah, blah. Like, I'm not like that. Like, if you forget to text me, it's like, oh, you're probably busy. That's fine.
Well, that's good.
Yeah. Pretty chill. I don't know. Right?
Yeah.
Cool.
it means you're independent. You're not.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not the kind of person that seeks that constant attention.
Well, actually, it's funny because daddy issues is all about make so many jokes about being needy. And mm-hmm. I have dated men before that I felt like I was needy with them. But I think it was when I was younger and my whole who I am as a person depended on whether or not they loved me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like now that I'm older and I love myself, it's just different. So I don't need them to constantly validate me. Like, I want to be claimed by someone, but whether or not they love me is not going to define who I am. So I feel like that changed for me.
Yeah. Well, I think when we're younger, we're all very insecure. And so we rely right. on other people to give us that validation.
Yeah. But I feel like I've dated other men out there. But like some of the guys that I've dated where I felt like I was too needy, even though I'm not a needy person, was because they were just not that into me. Mm. So for a lot of the women out there who are asking me questions about if someone kind of like talks to you one day, then not the other day. The simple question is that they either have someone else or they're just not that into you. That's the truth. If you start to feel like you're too needy, especially if you're not even a needy person like me, that means you're probably putting more effort in and you just don't want to admit that to yourself. Right. But I've talked to other guys who I felt like they were too needy, but yet, because they were texting me too much throughout the day. Mm-hmm. But then on the way, on the drive to the podcast, I was thinking about some other guys. There's these two other guys I was talking to in 2019 and 18 who they texted me all day and I loved texting them back. Mm. So that told me maybe I just wasn't as into as some of the other guys. Because with those guys, they would text me all day and I would text them back essays. I enjoyed it so much. And that's not usually me.
Okay. Yeah.
So I don't know. I forgot what the question was. Was there a question? I don't know. Remember. That's cool. somebody asked me, when should I tell my wife to relax when she's mad? I think this is really important between married couples and people that are dating and all that, is that I've read about this, I've listened about this in TED Talks. When you're fighting, make sure you're both fighting towards a solution versus fighting against each other. Mm. That's like the best advice I can give. And I agree with that. And make sure you set boundaries. So you kind of have a discussion where you're like, hey, I know I'm going to say some shitty things when I'm really angry. So I'm going to need to take a step back from you and I need to back off and do my own thing. Don't be that person. Like, I used to be this person and I've worked on it for years and I've really got better where when I'm mad and I'll say really mean things. And then I mm-hmm. learned that that's not okay. Like, I can't be like, well, they should know that I was just mad. I didn't mean it. It's like my mom always said, words are like birds. Once you let them out, they're out there in the world. And that's true. So I think telling someone when they're mad to relax is not the way to go. It's not funny. I think it's more like, hey, can we take a step back and let's think about this? Let's cool off. Or maybe the partner rather talk about things. So it's like, okay, like one of my friends, when she fights with her partner, he needs space and she needs to talk it out. So she'll give him that hour for him to relax. And then he sits next to her and she just talks it out by herself, just so she can like process everything in her brain. And that's how it works for them. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I think never tell a woman to relax. That's definitely a patent.
Literally, yeah.
That tends to make anyone more angry. You know, don't tell me what to do. But if you're the kind of person that needs a moment, you know, try to keep your calm, because if you just start calling each other names, it's not going to end well. If you need that moment, ask for that moment and then come back and, you know, discuss what are the feelings? Why is she feeling this way? Why, what is the underlying cause of the fight? And yeah, like you're saying, work towards a solution, not just yelling at each other back and forth. Yeah, I think it's important to concentrate on those feelings, you know, and to not point fingers, not to say you did this, yada, yada, yada. But, you know, when this happens, it makes me feel this way, and, you know, really understand each other.
Okay, so this next question is a really serious one, and I was really it was a different question because I feel like as a woman, I could have said, I could have been rude as a response, but I gave this guy a response back, and it's something that actually happens in dating, so don't think of it as a guy not liking a girl's looks, but anyway, these two are married. They both listen to my podcast. They both follow me, so obviously I'm keeping this anonymous, but this man has been married to his wife. He loves her so much. They've been married for 7 years, but they've been together for a total of 10 years, and in those 7 years of marriage, she's gained around 50 to 60 pounds, which is about 50% total of her weight. Since when we got married, she was 110 pounds and she's only 5 feet tall. And she gained a significant amount of weight considering since I'm already realizing she's having health issues. She has heartburn. Her level of energy significantly dropped, which also correlates to her sex drive. We are barely having sex, and every time we're having less and less sex. I keep telling her that she's beautiful, but she's so self-conscious about her body now and her weight that I don't know how to tell her to get in the gym so we can get back on that sex rodeo. I just want to see how we can reset and get back to our high level of confidence and the sex drive that we initially started with, where we would both make each other laugh and love each other even more. And it's not just the baby way. We still don't even have a kid. Okay, so that's what he said. And I feel like a lot of women who maybe read something like this can be like, how dare you tell a woman to change her body? But I can totally understand where he's coming from. And my advice to him that I gave to him was that I think what he needs to do is the best way is to be like, hey, let's do this together. Like oh my God, I'm trying to be healthier. Like, and I'm trying to eat healthier. Can you help me? Or like, why don't we do this together? Or you start learning how to cook. So then you're cooking healthy stuff. So then your wife joins in and eats healthy stuff with you. Or you're like, why don't we go to the gym together? Or you figure out some fun activities that are kind of like weight burning without, like knowing it's exercise. So I think when couples do things together, I think that's more fun versus being like, hey, you should go to the gym.
Yeah. No, I agree. I think making it a duo thing, and it doesn't have to be go to the gym and something that's, you know, because like I hate being on a treadmill, but I'll go walk in nature. I'll go for a hike and stuff. You know, it's finding the right activities.
Hiking, taking classes together.
Yeah, I think that's great. And of course, the biggest thing is what you eat, you know, getting on those healthy habits. Because you could spend an hour running on a treadmill and it's not going to make up for eating three Snickers. You know?
Yeah. But I think if they do it together, it's better versus him looking at his wife and being like, I'm not attracted to you anymore. Anyway, so aside from that, I think my other advice for him, aside from them doing activities together, so it doesn't seem like he's literally putting her down, is to remind her how beautiful she is. Because I know when I've gained weight before, I was going through depression. That's usually my weight gain, which happens. So she may be unhappy. And I think, and the hardest part is when you gain weight, it's even harder to lose it because you keep looking at yourself and you feel disgusting. Mm-hmm. So he doesn't need to remind her that she gained weight because like she knows. So I think it's a way of like making her also feel beautiful. So I told him also to maybe every day just be like, hey, you look so beautiful today. Or like, have I told you how sexy you are? But like really mean it. Mm-hmm. And I think that will help her feel good about herself aside from the activities that they may do together.
Yeah. Yeah. Be sensitive. Make sure you're doing it for her, not for you.
Yeah. You know, I mean, because he can probably, I'm sure he's not like a 10 out of 10. So I'm sure like, that's what he can do it with her versus just telling someone to do something and then them not working on themselves.
Exactly. Yeah.
Like I would like love it if I had I always date guys who work out a lot who are really healthy because I'm not healthy. Mm. So then that inspires me to like work out more and like be healthy.
Right.
And none of them ever told me to lose weight, but like I just genuinely want to look better.
Yeah.
Naked.
Yeah.
When
lead
I date
by
them.
Example. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's just me. this girl asked me, Amber asked, how to avoid becoming too attached to your significant other /letting them affect your happiness almost too much. Well, Amber, me and Dustin already talked about it earlier when we talked about how we were when we were younger. And when you are allowing, when you're letting, quote unquote, letting someone affect your happiness almost too much, that means that your self-worth is literally now depending on whether or not this person loves you today or gives you enough attention. That means at this point, it has nothing to do with the other person. I think it's unfair to put so much weight on someone else that now your happiness is depending on them. That's so unfair and that's so selfish. And people sometimes don't realize how selfish it is. You have to find your own happiness first. So you have to like, not even just find hobbies, but like find out, figure out how to be an individual again. And then go into the relationship being happy with who you guys are. So then if today he's not texting you as much, you're not going to be depressed and in bed all day because you know you're confident in yourself and in your relationship enough that you know everything's okay, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Obviously, you're unhappy with yourself and leaning on someone else to make you happy. So you need to look within, work on yourself. Don't be afraid to like go to a counselor or a therapist. There's nothing wrong with seeking outside help if you don't know what the problem is and you need help exploring that.
Yeah. Like even I feel like one of my friends right now is going through this where it's crazy to watch her go through this because it literally reminds me who I was 10 years ago in my toxic relationship where I was so dependent on this person to love me. Where if you like, I remember sometimes if he wasn't responding to my text, I would literally leave my university to go home. Cause I just like, I felt sick in my stomach and I just needed to be in bed and I just didn't want to get out of bed until he responded to my text. And I literally would make myself sick. I felt sick and my immune system would go low because I just couldn't, I felt like I couldn't breathe without him. And it's so scary to even remember those moments. I just didn't know who I was without him loving me. And like one of my friends, I saw her going through this right now where like if this guy she barely knows, she already attached her self-worth to him. And if he doesn't answer whatever, she's like, I needed you. How could you not be there for me that night? It's like, that's so not, like, do you not understand that it has nothing to do with him and it has to do with you yourself?
Yeah, it's unfair to do to him.
Yeah, sure. Like a lot of girls do that nowadays, or men. You meet someone, you barely know them, but you have this potential of them already and you have this idea and this fairy tale of you two. And then suddenly your whole world is them. And it's being like, I needed you. Like, were you dying? No, you weren't dying. You just needed this person's affection. That's like, maybe he was busy. Maybe he's just not that into you. Like, read the signs. But like, what's going on with you that right now you are putting so much weight on this relationship to be successful that like your life has no worth or meaning unless this person's in your life? Like he was literally like, did you forget that you were just fine 2 weeks ago when he wasn't there? You know?
Right. Yeah.
But I can relate because I was like, it was so crazy how literally years ago I would not be able to get out of bed unless my boyfriend unless me and my boyfriend were okay. Mm-hmm. It's so crazy to even remember that because that's so not who I am now. But I know that was me because I did not feel like I was worthy of love and I felt like I always needed to be good enough for him. And that's who I was as a person, like his girlfriend.
Right.
It's crazy. Fuck that bitch. You know, it's 2020. We're like worthy now. And fuck boys. No more fuck boys in 2020. And we have new energy in 2020. We're not going to put up with that shit. We're going to love ourselves. And that's literally going to be my vibe for the rest of this year. Imagine like next solo episode, I'm like crying over a guy. No, but like, I'm not going to let that happen. Like, you know, also through this episode, I realized I can be a fuck girl sometimes too. So I need to work on that too. Like I'm not perfect. I know it. But like my vibe, my energy for this year is like, I'm leaving the past behind. So I hope what everyone else does too. It's a new year. And if you feel like, I feel like I'm ready for love and I have to say it out loud now because I used to be embarrassed to say it. But I feel like you have to say things like this out loud. Because I feel like last year I was always like, oh, relationships scary. Ew, no, this. And that's what I was putting out in the universe. So now I feel like you have to say whatever you want. Like, I'm ready for love. I'm even scared like saying it right now. I feel uncomfortable. But it's like I have to say it out there to put it in the universe. Mm-hmm. So my right person will come along. Because I do want to have a partner that I attach myself to. Like, that would be so nice. Someone that's, you know, that just gets me. Like, I'm ready to have a partner. So I need to finally admit that to myself and like move forward with that. So I finally said on my podcast. So,
so now
universe, it's do your there. Shit, you know,
it's literally out there.
It's out there now. I'm ready for love. And I think because I'm ready for love, I think by then the CRL definitely will meet someone that I consider my partner, my lover. No, not my lover. Someone I want to be with.
Well, hopefully they'll be your lover too.
I'm so uncomfortable to talk about this. Yes, I have to. I don't have the right words for this yet, but I'm ready for it.
Okay.
And I have so much love to give, you know, to the right person. So I can't wait.
Nice.
Anyway, guys, that would be all today for the advice. I think we kind of went a little over an hour, which is good. I hope some of this advice helped you. I'm so sorry if I didn't get to your questions. I will in another podcast episode. I definitely still have... I definitely still need to be covering air signs and
earth
signs and some other zodiac stuff. So that will be coming up in some of the future solo episodes. I hope everyone's having an amazing January. I think this will be in January. So
yeah.
I hope everyone's having an amazing month/year. And I wish you guys nothing but the best 2020. If you have any questions for me, make sure to DM me on Viola Benson on Instagram or Too Tired to Be Crazy. Please subscribe to my... Viola Benson - Too Tired to Be Crazy YouTube channel, because I'll be make sure to post more on it this year from these videos and be more consistent to hopefully my own videos in the future. Also, if you love me, please leave me a review, 5-star review. I always read them. I always appreciate them. And I thank you so much for that. Even take a screenshot of it and DM it to me and I will respond and love you forever. Anything to say, Dustin?
No, I think you covered it. I'll love them forever, too.
Okay, cool. Thank you guys so much for tuning in for another episode of Too Tired to Be Crazy. I love you guys. Have a wonderful day, and I'll see you next week. Bye.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Sometimes it takes a different approach to help you unlock your true potential. With Capella University's game-changing FlexPath learning format, you gain relevant skills you can apply to your career right away. Earn your degree from an accredited university and be confident in the quality of your education. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu. Capella University is accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. Learn more at capella.edu/accreditation.